This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The early weeks of June were met with public outrage at the news that Richard Huckle was caught and imprisoned for the systematic sexual abuse of an estimated 200 children, including Malaysian victims. Huckle repeatedly exploited Malaysian children for 9 years and distributed footage of his abuses on the dark web. Yet he moved freely through our immigration system, worked and lived undetected in the very communities whose children he abused. This demonstrates ignorance towards child sexual abuse is a more prevalent problem than we realise. Many have questioned if current screening processes in volunteer organisations, welfare homes and the Malaysian immigration system are adequate, or whether those screening processes even exist. Scott J. Wong is the Executive Director at Suriana Welfare Society for Children, an advocacy group empowering children through community projects and development programs. In a field where employees work closely with vulnerable children, Scott explains that the inspection of potential workers is not prioritized.
The institutions dealing with the children are lackadaisical in their screening process. I mean, some of them don't even have screening processes at all, and they merely focus on the qualifications of the individual concerned. Especially for teachers, they just look at the qualifications and they just let him deal with the kids himself. Many people in these institutions will probably be asking, you know, what screening process? They don't even know the importance of screening or what measures to take to screen a potential employee or a volunteer in the center itself. The public is not sufficiently educated in the matters of this screening procedures. Even certain institutions that deal with children are not even sufficiently well-versed in the teaching of the kids. Should they encounter any abuse cases, they would just ignore what the child has reported as being a fallacy or just lies.
James Nyagam is chairman of the Suriana Welfare Society. He explains that this lack of screening policies reflects a naive and non-committal attitude towards protecting children from potential paedophiles in institutions.
It starts with the relevant agencies. Is there a commitment to create awareness? How much have we seen? How much you and I have seen? When we travel, there are some signboards along the way to remind us of the speed limit. But then do we have that in the course of working with children? I have not seen any much reminders or noise level created until a situation like this arises. And in a typical fashion, everybody comes alive. And I am afraid that after this, it'll have a natural death as well.
Malaysia ratified the Convention on the Rights of the Child in 1995, a move that was meant to strengthen the protective legal environment for children. Under Article 3 of the Optional Protocol to the Convention, the sale of children, child prostitution and child pornography are fully covered under its criminal or penal laws, whether these offences are committed domestically or transnationally. However, how many of us actually know about the Convention? James explains that the lack of awareness regarding child protection laws reflects a general ignorance on the part of government and organisational authorities.
Some of the government agencies, their staff are not aware of the Convention on the Rights of a Child. Therefore, whenever they are formulating policies, regulations, planning, they don't have as a background the best interests of a child. This is the initial situation that gives rise to the ignorance for the need to protect the children. We find that because of this, people exist according to their whims and fancies to come up with whatever or even not have any checks and balances.
While screening employees is an essential step to eliminating the risk of child sex abuse within institutions, immigration screening is the crucial layer of defence for barring entry of paedophiles into the country. After a Canadian teacher was arrested on child molestation charges in 2007, the South Korean Immigration Service has since required applicants of the E2 foreign language teaching visa to submit criminal and medical records under immigration regulations. So what policies does the Malaysian Immigration Department currently have to combat paedophile activity? Datuk Ramachelvam Manumati is the chairperson of the Malaysian Bar Council's Migrants, Refugees and Immigration Affairs Committee. He explains there are three types of work permits for foreigners who apply for work in Malaysia.
The first is what's called the Professional Visit Pass. This is issued to foreigners employed by overseas companies working in Malaysia. The other work pass that they normally issue is called the employment pass. This is issued for people with specific skills, generally in technical or managerial positions, and has to be approved by the expatriate committee of the relevant regulatory authority. The normal pass that most people seem to come in, this is what's called the temporary employment pass for unskilled or semi-skilled workers, mostly in the manufacturing, agriculture, construction and service areas. If they are foreign personnel, they would normally come under the professional visit pass, which is for technical experts, trainees, volunteers, etc.
Ramachelvam says sections in the Immigration Act broadly provide for the denial of entry of undesirables. That being said, the Immigration Department does not issue a specific visa for those who work with children in places like schools and volunteer organizations.
In Section 9 of the Immigration Act, where the Director General has got powers to prohibit an undesirable person, so to speak, from entering Malaysia or cancel any pass or permit. It is not detailed there, but Section 9 is broad enough. If there is proof that the person is involved or has been convicted of videophile activity or activities of such nature, and the evidence is made available to the Director General, he definitely has the power to prohibit that person from entering. You see, the Director General's powers can actually be delegated. If one sees within the scheme of our immigration laws, even if a visa is issued and the person comes to Malaysia, if that person's name turns up as an undesirable, then the officer at the immigration checkpoint can actually stop and deport that person back. Obviously, there is a major gap of enforcement because Malaysian police seem to have been not aware of this crime that has been ongoing for 9 long years. The other gap that one sees in the Richard Huckle story, this is one foreigner who was involved in videophilia. Like Richard Huckle was not discovered or outed. There are many others who are Malaysians themselves who may be committing these crimes.
James observes that those who suffer the worst are children from less privileged backgrounds who are more vulnerable to sexual abuse.
They are in need of some form of caring, and so lots of social work is done amongst them. Their response to anyone who wants to offer some form of care and concern is to receive it. So persons who actually have approached these people often approach them in the guise of an organization, a profession that is caring, like in the form of a teacher, with the view of helping people. And so the poor community, when looking upon these persons, innocently are drawn into their scheme and therefore become victims. The parents themselves, when they view these people and when they receive them, fully trust them because for who they represent and the profession they follow. As such, being unable to afford education, readily offer or rather make the child available to these persons. So access because of its social work, because it's some form of charity, but then again, some persons take advantage of this.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.